Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. How are you doing? Oh, that's good. Really? Good for you. Well, yeah, that's expected. I'm doing all right. Here we are in the beautiful, beautiful time of the year. I hope you're enjoying it, the unofficial start of summer. Oh, do you have your styrofoam cooler? Do you have your flip-flops? Are you going to go with new flip-flops this year? Are you going to change up the bathing suit? Are you big and chubby and hairy and terrified about going out in public? Or have you reached that zen part of your life where you just don't care anymore? I have. I hope you're doing well. I am here in Los Angeles, California. Paul is on a boat. He's on a boat again somewhere out in the seas. It's been tricky to get a hold of him. He will be back in action next week, so we're looking forward to that. From what I can tell, he is doing a lot of good shows, but he is at sea, and he doesn't have much of an internet connection, so we've had a hard time hooking up, but I'll send him your best. Hey, I have a couple shows coming up. June 21st in Mamaroneck, New York at the Emlyn Theater, and June 22nd in Newton, New Jersey at the Newton Theater, like Fig Newton. Those are two shows around my home state of New Jersey, and I hope that people come out. Newton is kind of out in the woods. And Mamaroneck is kind of up in the Scarsdale area. I am looking forward to it. I am in live from here. I just did St. Louis. This week I'm doing Wolf Trap in Vienna, Virginia, where I will be performing. And then Tanglewood. I will be up in Tanglewood doing the season finale of Live From Here. It's always a great way to wrap up the season. And then if you go to tompapa.com, you'll see all the other dates. July 13th, I'll be in Napa at the Uptown Theater. And then I will be basically doing Live Come to Papa in New York each month in the summer. And pretty much downshifting through July and August, and then big time action from September on with all the usual haunts: Detroit, Cleveland, Colorado, Minnesota, Wisconsin, all over the place. So I hope you come out to all of that. Oh, one last little plug. Your dad stole my rake and other family dilemmas. My book has just been released in paperback form. That's right. You can now get a paperback, stick it in your backpack, give it to your loved ones for Father's Day, perhaps. And that is on sale everywhere books are sold: Amazon, my website, bookstores, etc., etc. But it's very exciting that we have a paperback out, and it's very exciting that I get to say those words out loud. I have been traveling pretty much nonstop. I've been able to see how everybody else is living this spring, and I am home just briefly, and then I've got a bunch of New York stuff coming up, and like I said, those dates. But it's been very cool traveling around. I love this time of year. This is kind of corny, but I really do love coming into these small towns along my tour and seeing the American flag out as people are starting to hint that it is summertime, the 4th of July is in our sights, and we are moving towards just a good old American summer. I know people say it's corny. I know people are down on the brand that is America. But I refuse. Look, this is our country, right? Look, if I was able to get a dual citizenship through Italy, which I've toyed around with just because it sounds kind of exotic and cool, and you really hated this place so much and you wanted to go make a go of it in some other land, all right, that's one way to approach it. You get so angry with your country and its flaws that you just got to bolt. I get it. I don't know anybody that's done it, but you have that option. We all have that option. But if you decide to stick it out, then, you know, what are you going to do? Nothing is flawless. Everything's got ugly history and ugly parts to it, and things need to be worked on and improved. But it's like a family, right? It's like this big, ugly family. Is your family perfect? No. I haven't met them. And I know there's some weirdos involved. I know there are some people in that family that you can't stand. When they chew, it makes you want to kill them. I get it. That's what a family is. It's not flawless. It's impossible for it to be flawless. Even the best families would be like, yeah, there's one person in it who everybody's like, oh boy, he's at it again. That's okay. But you're in it. You're not going anywhere. So you make the best of it. You do what you can. And you try and make the best of the situation. And that's the way that this big, fat country is as well. We're in it. If you want to stick around, and what are you going to do? It's your place. This is your place. So you make the best of it. And point out the flaws? Of course. Try and work on them? Sure. Complain? Go online? Rant if you want? Whatever you want to do. Whatever makes you feel better. Go and do it. I'm just excited to be here. Going to my first baseball game on Thursday. Dodgers, Mets. A friend of mine has very fancy seats. Very fancy at Dodger Stadium. And I'm conflicted. Because they are possibly the best seats. Well, they are the best seats you can sit in Dodger Stadium. But as with all great things or exclusive things or luxurious things, there is a, how do you say it? There is a disgusting edge to it. Is that too much of a word? I don't think so. I think it's a little unseemly, a little uncomfortable when you are put on display in a stadium, especially. Like, if you're flying first class, people see you as they head to the back of the plane. It's a brief little look. They notice you, whatever. You're there, whatever. When you're in a stadium, it's a bowl. It's a bowl. And it is a bowl of the social hierarchy. And that's okay. Look, my friend made a lot of money and is very successful and loves the Dodgers in his heart. He has completely earned it, and it is the best, and I love him, and that he gives me these tickets makes me love him even more. It's a little weird, though, the way Dodger Stadium sets it up. They actually created this concrete like barrier around the rich seats. It's like a moat. And the rest of the stadium, you know, as in all stadiums, the ticket price slowly goes up the closer you get to the field. And it's, you know, starts in the upper thing, and there's the cheap seats and the bleachers, and it all comes down, and that's okay. And but there's something about at this stadium, there's literally a concrete barrier. It's like they decided to keep the poor people out. And it looks a little weird, and it looks like a little like the fancy people are on display. Now, I have made a choice that I am going to be on display, so I take it and I'll enjoy it. Are there free nachos in that section? Yes, there are. Are there free hamburgers and hot dogs? Yes, there is. Will I be eating all that free food? You bet. These are not my seats. These are not. This is not my beautiful house. I will be enjoying every single moment of it. And it's Dodgers Mets, so you get that little New York component. It's going to be a great time. I'm just excited. If you ever go to Dodger Stadium, all this stuff, by the way, washes over this moat minor problem that I have with it. Put a hot dog in my face, have me sit there and look out on this beautiful night, which LA always is, at the palm trees that are sitting in the outfield and baseball is being played. That's it. I'm in 100%. And I kind of like that this is my first game of the year because it's starting to feel summer-ish. Kids are done with school here in LA within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, it starts. They go back earlier, but we get June is our summer, June, July, and part of August, and then they go back to it. So this is all happening. So for me to, I like little ceremonies. I like little moments that that give you an indication that a season has changed and that you should be celebrating this this little marker. And I really am looking forward to it. It's going to be a good thing. My only problem is going to be getting there because I have an appointment in Santa Monica, and then I've got to get all the way across to Dodger Stadium. If you do not live in Los Angeles, you, I'm sure, have heard of our legendary traffic. And it's Wednesday, the game's tomorrow. Yeah, I will be thinking about the traffic and plotting out how I'm going to get there until it happens, because it is like climbing Mount Everest. Have you checked out that Everest thing? Have you seen that? I'm going to call it hilarious. A lot of people are dying. A lot of Mount Everest deaths. Here, I'll read a little something to you. Mount Everest death toll rises to 11 amid overcrowding concerns. 11 people. Okay, so there was a time when like one guy saw a mountain and said, I'm going to climb Mount Everest. And it was a big deal, and a handful of people did it. And now everybody thinks they can do everything now, which is a whole nother problem. But everybody decides that they're going to climb Mount Everest, and that's going to be the, you know, they get it in their head. That's the thing that is going to make me feel like complete, like jumping from a plane or whitewater rafting. This is the thing that's going to give my life meaning. So all of these services, there's a good movie out. I think it's called Everest or something, and it kind of talks about this. So there's these mountaineering companies that basically rich people pay to pay the company, and then they kind of, it's not glamping, you're still climbing this giant thing. I'm just watching, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I'm watching my wife. There's a German Shepherd attacking my dog. They seem happy. Oh, now they're happy. But they almost, the German Shepherd almost pulled the wife, pulled the wife German Shepherds are tough. They can just turn it on. All right, they're all happy. Everyone's, the wives are happy and the animals are happy. I was jogging. Did I tell you this story? I was jogging with my dog and I was cruising along and my dog starts like kind of jumping as we're jogging along and getting like antsy, which, you know, happens when she senses something or smells something. And somebody else, we came around a bend and there was this German Shepherd and this small, not too small, woman walking the German Shepherd. And the German Shepherd made a run for us. It was in attack mode. And it pulled the woman onto the ground. And she did not let go of the leash. She was on the ground, scrambling, pulling herself up. And she yells something at me. And I'm like, don't yell at me. I didn't, what do you do? Your dog freaked out and comes running after us. Don't yell at me. And then she screams out, I'm not yelling at you. This dog is a bad boy. He's a bad boy. All right. Good thing I had my running shoes on, so I just split. Okay, so anyway, sorry for that distraction. This is my, I have a good window out on the street from my office, so I get to see all the action. And this is why writing books sometimes takes longer than it should. So there are these rich, you pay these guys, I don't know, $30,000 or whatever, and they'll put you in a, they'll give you the equipment and stuff, and they lead you like Sherpas up Mount Everest, and they get to go go climb. And it's still a big deal, you know. It's still, you still have to climb this mountain. It's a huge thing. It's a big deal. It can kill you. And overcrowding on these mountains is a huge thing. Litter is a huge thing because people die. They can't get the bodies off. They can't get all of the equipment off. Everest is just littered with debris from all these people that just think, you know, not everybody can do everything, gang. It's, you know, these things aren't to be taken lightly. So people are dying. It's the 11th death. Some guy just died. It's the 11th death on the mountain in 2019. It's May, and 11 people have died. While descending, he was strong and safely reached the South Col late Monday, altitude of 7,000 meters, 25,000 feet. 25,000 feet. You fly at 25,000 feet. Late Monday evening before he suddenly passed away. In a statement, the family of the Colorado man said they were heartbroken at the news. Chris turned 62 in April and went up with a very small group in nearly ideal weather after the crowds of last week had cleared. On Monday, an Austrian family confirmed the death of one of their relatives, 64-year-old Ernst Landgraf. Okay, here you go. Don't do these things in your 60s. Don't. You want meaning? Go help some poor people. You have a need to feel like you've achieved something? Go find someone in need and make their lives better. Go build a house in Detroit. Go down to Louisiana. Go someplace in this great country of ours where people are suffering. Go help army vets. Go. There are a lot of people suffering. Go help them. Don't strap on boots in your 60s and say, I'm going to climb one of the highest mountain peaks in the world. Don't do it. Don't. Come on, Tom, you don't know. We're trying to... Stop it. Stop it. 11 people in 2019. And, you know, these people would not be able to go do this on their own because you have these groups that can make it seem like it's easy. It's not easy. You get up there, you don't have oxygen. Here's a quote. Even when using bottled oxygen, supplemental oxygen, there's only a very few number of hours we can actually survive up there before our bodies start to shut down. So that means if you get caught in a traffic jam above 26,000 feet, the consequences can be severe. You see, the lack of experience both with the commercial operators and the climbers themselves is causing these images we see where people make bad decisions, get themselves in trouble up high, and end up having unnecessary fatalities. So these groups are going up there. No one really knows what they're doing. You have to cross at certain points, and then you come up in a tour group. Imagine you're in a tour group. You ever been like in a tour group just touring around down here on flat land? You ever see you go to Washington, D.C., and a bunch of tour groups all hit the monument at the same time and have to wait to enter the thing? All right, imagine if that's at 26,000 feet, and you come marching along, and then there's another group. How special is that? Let's say you do it. Let's say you achieve it. Isn't that done? Isn't that a done thing? Not dumb. D-O-N-E. Isn't that a done thing? Like when everybody's doing it and everyone's going, are you that special? Or are you just part of something that's kind of like been co-opted and now everybody's doing it? And you know what? You're right? Like if I was at a party and someone's like, yeah, I climbed Everest. I was with a group and I climbed Everest. It was pretty great. I'm not impressed. This isn't 1945 where one guy in a sweater and climbing shoes that were made out of baseball mitts, a rope that he made himself. That's impressive. Before anyone else got there. Great. Now, you know, it's like these parents that are getting their kids into college by any means necessary. It's like you can make these things happen. People can be pushed along. But it's not that special, is it? That's a large number of people just dying. And all right, can we just talk about general things when you're in your 60s?
What?
What's with the physical? You're not an Olympian your entire life, and now you're turning 60, and you decide, now I'm going to push it. No. No. I am 40. And I feel like my hips are creaky. My ankles, depends on the day. I literally wake up every day and it's like my body tells me like what works and what doesn't just from sleeping last night. Just from laying in bed, didn't do anything. And these guys are 20 years older than me. Haha. No, that's not the time to do that stuff. When, you know, what's with all this achieving? We all want to feel important. We all want to achieve things. You all want to have little challenges. Live your life to the fullest. I'm not against any of that. But come on. Know your limits. You know, when you start boxing in your 70s, your nose will crack like a saltine. Like a saltine. That's not the... You don't start boxing at that age. Just calm down. Do the little things. People always need to feel like I got to go completely insane and go completely nuts to feel alive. You don't. How about the little things? I saw a movie for the first time in, I think, a year. I think the last one I saw was another crazy guy Free Solo, the guy that climbs without ropes, that dude. Again, back to the climbing thing. It seems to be a theme today. that guy is a freak, and he does that stuff, and he should do that stuff, and he is the one guy that should do that stuff. That doesn't mean a whole bunch of, after going to see the documentary, a whole bunch of 60-year-olds say, I'm going to climb without ropes too. No, that's not how it works. He does that. You don't have to do that. I get the idea. I understand. You see people do cool things and you want to do it too. I get it. I do. How many times do I say it on this podcast? I see people that are playing video games and it seems like an amazing life. And I think immediately, I want to do that too. I want to play those games. They must be intense. I want to sit on my couch with a big 2-liter thing of Coke and some snacks, some Cool Ranch Doritos, and just play video games all day and night. Yeah, I want to do that too, but I can't. Not everyone's life is your life. I got stuff to do. Imagine if my family came home after school and they're getting ready to study for finals and they can't sit in the living room because I'm there, high, playing Zelda by myself. What are they going to think? They're going to think we're in trouble. Bills are not getting paid. This guy's around too much. Oh, I almost forgot to mention, this edition of our beautiful show is being brought to you by the good people of BlueChew.com. In a world where people are looking to excel and do everything they possibly can and climb mountains and wrestle tigers in the wild, why don't you turn it down a notch and just find someone to love, one person, maybe multiple, I don't know. But when you do, and you want to make sure that everything is operational, and you want to make sure that you don't blow it, you should try BlueChew.com. It is all of the same active ingredients that are in other enhancement drugs, but they are FDA-approved. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And you can take them anytime, day or night, and you chew them, like chewing gum. That's why it's called Blue Chew. So you pop a little in, and then you're ready to go, and you're a champion. You don't need to climb Mount Everest. You've got this stuff. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code PAPA. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code PAPA. Try it for free. It's better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So anyway, that was the last movie I saw, was Free Solo, which was great. And it's been a long time. It's probably, you know, probably that's December. I've not been in a movie theater since then. And finally got my ass there on Memorial Day, where I got to see Booksmart. Highly recommend it. Really good. Olivia Wilde directed it. Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein. Jason Sudeikis, Jessica Williams. Hilarious. Really funny. Really smart. Is super cool. It was really funny. I saw some headline like, why didn't it do better at the box office? Well, because it's not a comic book story, I guess. Right? She, Beanie Feldstein. I didn't even know that's her name. Hilarious. She's, what's his name? Jonah Hill's sister. Yeah. Yeah. Jonah Hill's younger sister. She looks like Jonah Hill. She has some mannerisms. She was the one, do you remember when we were watching Lady Bird? The friend in Lady Bird? Just hilarious, soulful, funny. That's her. So now she has a starring role. And I don't know. I guess everything is box office. So why didn't it do better? I don't know. But she's hilarious. Super funny. She's probably already made a bunch of other movies since then. So yeah, I recommend you go see Booksmart. It's good. What? You heard that I was just acting in a movie? Yeah, you're right. I did just act in a movie. I was in this movie up in Syracuse, and I was doing some acting. Mm-hmm. How about that? With a very well-known actress, Lily Taylor. Yeah, that one. From Say Anything, and I Shot Andy Warhol. Well, somebody had to play her love interest, so guess what? Yeah, your boy. She is, it's so cool to like actually be in something, to be sitting opposite somebody and working with somebody who's so professional, and you like, you know, my whole life running around being a comedian, doing my thing and doing whatever, she does nothing but crank out films. And there's just a shorthand and a drive and a knowledge about everything that that has to go into it. And she was just amazing to watch. And then you're actually in the middle of a scene with her. Just incredible. I can't... The number of films she's done, it's... Oh, boy. It's endless. And such a cool, down-to-earth person. And... It was a treat. It's going to be a movie called Paper Spiders, and I hope you get to see it. I'm just looking at her IMDb. That this is one of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies that are going to be coming out with her in it. Yeah, amazing. She was in American Crime recently. She was in Chambers. You know, you meet some people and you're like, oh, right, they're cool. Oh, I get right. This person isn't as silly as me. This person reads cooler things. I always feel like I don't know like the cool alternative books I'm supposed to read. I'm pretty mainstream. As much as my job isn't so mainstream and maybe my life doesn't fall into mainstream, I am pretty mainstream. I try and, even when I was younger, I try to get the weird independent films I like. I try to find out who's the cool underground authors. I try and learn all that stuff, but some people, it's just comes naturally. They just kind of live it, and it's in there. And she's one of those people, you know. There's just a different. There's a different depth and a different vocabulary. I'm not that. I appreciate it. I want to be that. Again, I want to play Xbox. I want to be the cool guy who knows the poet. Nope. I watch Yankee games. I watch Yankee games and then get excited about the 4th of July. That's where I'm living. All right, kids. Paul will be back on next Tuesday. It'll be a good one. We'll be able to finally reunite and see what he's been doing on these boats. Maybe he's a fisherman now. Maybe that's what he does. Maybe he just fishes. That sounds cool. I want to do that. I want to do that. Oh, I made 2 great breads today. First of all, Memorial Day was bagel day. I don't know if you saw my Instagram, a little precursor to that. And then today, so then I've been feeding these starters and getting everything back into its routine because I've been away so much. Feeding these the sourdough starter, and then I get too excited and I rush it. And it's like, if you the only way you can mess up baking bread is if you rush things at any stage. When you're mixing it, when you're feeding the starter, when you're proofing it, when you're baking it, if you rush any of it, you pay dearly. And I rushed it. First two loaves came out like dough balls, just a mess. So I kept feeding it and knew that that was the case. And then today, after feeding it and shaping them yesterday, leaving them overnight, and then this morning got to actually bake two beautiful loaves of bread. Man, oh man, they came out so perfect. The house is just filled with that smell then for the rest of the day. It just smells like baked bread. You don't want to eat it right away, so you just, again, don't rush it, even in the eating of it. Just leave it half of the day, and then you can start going into it. Really, the next day, tomorrow will be perfect. But just so, so great. I've been doing this a long time now, and I still get very excited. And I'll just, as I'm sitting here working, writing, doing whatever, I'll just wander into the kitchen after they're done. It's all been baked. It's all complete. They're all in there. And I'll just come and see how they're doing. Just pick it up, smell it, put it back down. Nice to see you. See you tomorrow. And then feed the starter for another thing. Hey, if you are a fan of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me also, I just did that show last weekend. I hope you got to see it and enjoy that. So I hope that, I think they put it on podcast the same week, so you could probably download that immediately. If not, you can take a look tomorrow and see if it's there. But I think it's already up. And Live From Here is up and rocking. My Out in America, that is all set. Go to TomPapa.com, look things up, enjoy your life.